Morning, church. I said, good morning, church. When I say lost, you say found. Lost. Lost. I wouldn't be here today if Jesus didn't find me. And you wouldn't be here today if Jesus didn't find you. Amen. So they say, there's supposed to be a picture up here. But anyway, they say that if I show you a picture of my family statistically, you're more likely to pay attention to me. Amen. Right? My beautiful wife should be up there, but she's in the audience. Can we give her a round of applause? So, my beautiful daughter, Germany, me and my family, in honor of my father who passed away, we decided that we would start a garden. And so, in this garden, Germany is picking the first fruit from our garden. And so, this is some squash. And so, these squash were grown to go into my belly, to go into our belly, amen, to go into our stomach. And so I use that as a topic for today's message, grown to go, because today we're going to see the heart of God today. We're going to see how God, he seeks, he pursues, and he celebrates every son and daughter that is brought home, amen. And so that's going to be the focus of today's message. We're going to encounter two different parables. There's really three parables, which I'll talk about a little bit later today. But something that I love to do is every time, like one of the reasons why I became a member of this church is how loving and how caring the church was. Like my nephew even said it. My nephew, you know, he didn't go to church, but when I brought him that one time, he said, I felt loved. I felt appreciated. I felt seen. And so the reason behind that is because something that we do is we give hugs. We introduce ourselves. And so I want to set aside two minutes for AWC family just to go out and find somebody you don't know and give them some hugs. So that's our next slide. So we got 2 minutes. There it is. Nephew, love you, appreciate you. Give Caleb some love. Hey, brother.
The quickest way for me to get you a 2 minute.
Okay. I was going to say, if you want to take pictures, it tells you like the slide transitions if you want. You don't have to, though. If you want to take pictures so you can see the slide transitions.
Yeah, do you want me to bring this back up to you in a minute? I got 42 seconds.
All right. Yeah, I know. All right, y'all, we got about 30 seconds. We got about 30 seconds so we can make our way back to our seats. Oh, yeah. Love you. Love you. Love you. Thank you so much for coming. Yeah, time is up. Time is up. God is good. And all the time. I said, God is good. And all the time. Amen. Amen. God is good all the time. He woke you up this morning. You got blood in your body. You got oxygen in your body. You got a family to go to. You got a home to go to. You got a car to drive. Amen. And for me, I got a beautiful wife and daughter. Amen. Amen. So The next part of our service is I'm going to invite up Julian Costa. He's going to pray for us. A little bit about Julian. Julian trained with Chosen for about maybe for like 6 years ago, all the way through high school. And I remember Julian's mom calling me his senior year saying, man, like Julian, he's lost. He's going through this. He's going through that. And I remember us having Jamba Juice. And I remember praying some things over him and speaking some life to him. And recently he told me that he wants to be a pastor. So, that goes to show that when we are planted in our faith, when we're stronger in our faith, and we go into the world and we love on people, God will raise them and water them up. Amen. So Julian's going to pray for us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Love you too. It gets me a little bit emotional because I remember where he came from. Amen. I remember I'm just so proud of his journey and where he is. And that goes to show that when we don't give up on people, when we love intentionally, God will do the work. Amen. So my next question I have for you guys is, I just want to do a quick poll. Has anybody in this room ever lost something? By a show of hands, raise your hand. Okay. So pretty much everybody in this room lost something. So I'm going to call on Sis Jen. What's something that you lost and did you find it? Okay, you lost some keys. Key card. Okay. You found it. And how did you feel when you found that? It's over. It's over. Amen. Amen. Let's go. Marcus, have you ever lost something? Okay. And did you find it? Okay. How did that feel when you found it? Okay. Thank you guys for sharing. So what that leads me to is my next point. So my wife, shout out to wives. If you're not married, I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Amen. I know Rob can agree with me. We just celebrated Tu's 50th birthday last week. Wives are amazing. Amen. So my wife, in early June, we celebrated Michaela's 30th birthday, y'all. Her 30th birthday. And so we decided to go to Thailand. We decided to spend 10 days in Thailand, 4 days in Bangkok, 4 days in Phuket. It was a 15-hour flight. 15-hour flight, right? And so when we went there, my wife said, babe, you know what? Like, we're traveling far. Let's get an AirTag. For my young people in the room that don't know what an AirTag is, an AirTag is like a GPS tracker that Apple created. So it's like this circular device. You put it into your wallet, and you can track it using your iPhone, right? So my wife said, babe, when we're going on this trip, I want us to get AirTags. So that leads me to the heart of where Jesus is today in this passage that we're going to read. Sometimes when we lose something, it seems to become more valuable than if we ever lost it in the first place, right? And so in these parables that we're going to read, we're going to see that Jesus loves and cares about the lost so much so that he rejoices and heaven throws a party after one soul that is brought back home. Amen. So I'm going to invite up my nephew, Austin, and Austin is going to read our scriptures for us. Amen. So can we give it up for Austin?
All gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.
Amen.
The next is Luke 15, 8 through 10, the parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Man. Thank you. Love you. Appreciate it. So that's my nephew, Austin. Austin was on my freshman basketball team. And I remember him being, you know, I low-key didn't like Austin. I'm going to be honest with you. Can I be honest today? All right. I had to love him, but I didn't like him that much as a freshman. All right. 0-2, but I love him. I love him now. But the reason why I didn't bond with them immediately is because, you know, they was just a little bit whiny, you know, and I couldn't relate to that. So, but I bring that up because Austin, man, I love my nephew Austin. Austin and I have, you know, dinners and hang out and talk and just talk about life. And Austin kind of went astray. So Austin got baptized in this same building after his freshman year. He committed his life to Christ. He got baptized and he was committed. And then, you know, life happened. High school happened. And recently he rekindled his relationship with the Lord. Amen. And it wasn't me, it was the Lord. Amen. And Austin told me recently that he wanted to be a pastor as well. I love you, man. Love you. I love you. Okay. All right. So getting into the scripture. So we're in the book of Luke. So Luke is a Gentile. What is a Gentile? A Gentile is a non-Jewish person. So Luke is the only author in the New Testament that is non-Jewish. That says a lot about him. His career was that he was a doctor. And y'all know doctors today, they get that money. But he decided to drop everything and to follow Jesus. Amen. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they wrote what's called the Synoptic Gospels. What does synoptic mean? Synoptic means same. So imagine you guys are in this room and I'm sharing this message. If all of you were to write a book, you will remember different details about what happened today. Amen? So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they remember different details of what happened during the 3 years of Jesus' ministry. Right? So the next slide. So this is just questions that I ask myself as I'm studying. When I was in Bible college, my professor would always tell me, when you are reading the Bible, you want to read what happened before, the chapter before, and the chapter after. Why? Because if you were to open up a book right now, and you started in chapter 6, you would not understand what happened in the previous chapters, amen? But for some reason, when we read the Bible, we just think we're going to read it and understand it immediately. So I highly recommend you read the chapter before, so that you can get a better context of what's happening, amen? So in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is talking about discipleship, the cost of being a disciple. Now, a lot of people like to say that they know Jesus, but who really knows them? I think Pastor Ian alluded to this when he gave the analogy of Michael Jordan. How really do we know Michael Jordan? We might know facts, but nobody really knows Michael Jordan if you're not in his inner circle. Amen? So the cost of being a disciple. You guys remember the story about the rich man and him wanting to be a disciple of Jesus. Y'all kind of remember that a little bit? It's okay if you don't, I'm going to tell you anyway. So there was this rich man, and he said that he wanted to be a disciple of Jesus. And so he says, I honor my mother and father. So Jesus asked him some questions. He's like, do you honor your mother and father? He's like, yes. And Jesus is like, do you do this? He's like, yes. So then Jesus says, okay, well, if you want to be my disciple, I want you to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And what do you think that rich man did? He walked away with his head down because Jesus knew that in his heart, he worshiped money and he didn't have room to serve two masters. Amen. So what in your life is taking the place of God? Is it binge watching Netflix series? I'm guilty. I'm guilty too. Michaela will tell you, I got some Netflix series I've been binge watching, right? And it's taking the place that I could be reading my Bible. Amen. Or is it money? Is it trying to build wealth for your family? That was me too. I want to buy as many properties as possible. So if I die today, Germany and Michaela is taken care of. What is it that's taken a place of God in your life? Is it sports? At one point in my life, it was. I told y'all, I used to worship basketball. I was in the gym 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. before school started. And then I trained again after that because I wanted to make it to college. But what are you worshiping? Is it computers? Is it your relationship? Is it your spouse? Is it your boyfriend, girlfriend? What is it? Amen? So the cost of discipleship. So now we're going to get into a scripture breakdown. So we're going to break down verses 1 and 2. So as you see, there are some highlighted words, right? And I'm going to just read the scripture. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, some context is a tax collector during Jesus' time basically was like a snake. And what I mean by that is a Jewish person would go to the Roman government and bid on the rights to become a tax collector. So what you may not know is that the Roman Empire was oppressing the Jewish community at that time. So for you to go and collect taxes for them, it's almost like who are you? Like how you're basically a traitor for your own people is the way that they seen it. And something that I noticed is he separated the category of tax collectors and sinners. And so I asked myself, why? Why would Jesus do that? And the reason why is because there were righteous tax collectors and unrighteous tax collectors. What do you mean, Coach Jermaine? What I mean is that some tax collectors will add an additional percentage on the taxes that they collected. So if Gabby was a tax collector, she would say, you know what, Jermaine, we got to pay Uncle Sam 5%. But really, Uncle Sam said, you only need to pay me 2%. So she was making a living, or the tax collectors were making a living by capitalizing off of profiting off of their own people. Does that make sense? All right. So I want us to also notice it says Pharisees. What is a Pharisee? During the time that Jesus existed, there were four major spiritual groups. You had the Sadducees, you had the Pharisees, you had the Zealots, and you had the Essenes. The Pharisees were basically like the Catholic Church. They were the biggest religious organization at that time. Does that make sense? So the Pharisees are also the religious leaders. They followed the Old Testament law, like through and through. In fact, they actually added an additional 600 and something laws to the Ten Commandments that we know. This is called the Mishnah. And so we notice that sinners is listening to Jesus, but the religious leaders are muttering and complaining. So a modern day Pharisee today would be somebody who is self-righteous, who it's those celebrities that we see that's taking videos and pictures of them giving food and money to the poor. That's what a Pharisee would be today. So, or it would be those people who've been in the church for a long time. That's like, Jermaine, why are you wearing jeans and you up there preaching? It's that religious mindset instead of understanding that it's more about reaching people than about religious traditions. Amen? So then that brings me to my next slide, which is, and I didn't notice. So there was a Christian couple that started a club. This club is called 217. The reason why is because in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "And in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." So what this young couple decided to do was God gave them a vision to start a club. And they started this Christian club, and there's no drinking at this club, there's no alcohol, there's no smoking, and there's no twerking at these clubs. Now, now that's a little bit different, but they created a new standard, amen? They created a new way for Christians and non-Christians to come together and still dance and turn up, but in a holy way. Does that make sense? Now, imagine this. If they were disobedient to God, how many souls would not have been saved? How many souls do you think, how many people do you think gave up their lives to Jesus because somebody decided to listen and create a Christian club? There's ideas, books, businesses inside of you that God wants you to create so that way you can build bridges. Amen? And that's my main point. We grow in our relationship with Jesus so that way we can build bridges. Yep, there it is. Okay. Okay, and so that leads me to the first out of four things that I'm going to talk about today. For my note takers, we're going to be talking about lost. We're going to be talking about pursued. We're going to talk about being found. And then we're going to be talking about rejoicing or being rejoiced. So under lost, we got in the scripture, we see in verse 4, it says, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them." Or in verse 8, it says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one." Or in verse 24, which we're not going to read, it says, "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found." So there's three parables in Luke chapter 15. We got the story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and we have the famous story that you all know about, which is the lost son or the prodigal son. Now, oftentimes, pastors don't preach on the coin and the sheep. They always go straight to the son, right? Because that's the most relatable. But it's important to understand that when we're reading Luke chapter 15, we have to really understand it in context of all three. Amen? So notice this, how in every scripture, there's the word lose or lost. So Jesus has something to say about this, right? And in every story, something precious is missing, and somebody, you, needs to go out and pursue that person. Amen? So then that brings me to my next point, which is pursued. So in Luke 15, 4b and 8b, we see, "Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it?" So in this example, we see it was almost uncommon for a shepherd to leave the sheep. Now, this is why. Does anybody know who David is in the Bible? We got David. Okay. So David in the Old Testament was a shepherd. So before he became king of the Israelites, he was a shepherd. And what a shepherd's job was to tend and take care of the sheep. Amen? Now, what we don't know is that being a shepherd means willing to sacrifice and risk your life for the sheep. So David was literally, like before, you guys heard about the story about David and Goliath, right? Goliath was this big giant guy, right? 7 feet tall. So David, before he fought Goliath, he already had his own battles. He was literally fighting bears and lions to protect his sheep. Amen? And so that's what it means to be a shepherd, is to protect your sheep. So to leave the 99 sheep and to go after the one says a lot about God's heart, because Jesus is trying to personify or bring personhood to the sheep and to the coin, which we're going to see in a second. Now, leaving the 99, that's sacrifice. Now, when this woman, she lights a lamp, sweeps, and she searches, that's intentionality. And that's actually the way that our church or the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit, right? We're supposed to use the lamp, which is the word of God, and then we're supposed to sweep. What does sweep mean? That means we need to examine ourselves as a church before we can go out into the world and preach to the lost. Does that make sense? And then the word says we're supposed to search carefully. What does that mean? That means that we don't need this building to be full of more Christians. It needs to be full of those who are lost. Does that make sense? This is not supposed to be a social gathering. This is supposed to be a place where people are coming and being healed and being restored. Amen? Because life is hard. Like, when we live out our life throughout the week, our coworkers, our relationships, we get punched in the face. So we come here on Sunday to be restored. Amen? So my main point is that God doesn't wait for you to come home. He goes after you. Amen? So in this picture is a picture of a sheep. I learned a lot of stuff about a sheep recently from studying this message. A lot. Now, sheep have a 270-degree view. What does that mean? That means that they have a wide-angle lens, almost like that third camera on your iPhone, where you can zoom it out. That's how sheep's eyes are, right? So they have a wide lens, and that allows them to see predators hundreds of feet away. The second thing is that I learned is that sheep never walk in a straight line because they're so slow that if a lion or a coyote, they could just easily attack them. So they actually always walk in a zigzag-like motion. Another thing I learned is that the sheep, they do not drink from running water. So if you were to turn on the faucet, they won't drink from it. And the reason why is because imagine if you and I walked around with 10 sweaters on. That's what their wool is. It weighs them down. So if they fall in the water, they're going to drown. Does that make sense? That's why in Psalms 23, it says, "And he leadeth me beside still water." Because David wrote that, and David was a shepherd. And so he observed how the sheep behave. They won't drink from running water. They only drink from still water. Now, how does this relate to us as people? Right? That's the whole reason why we're talking about this. How does this relate to people? This relates to people because sheep, if they don't realize, if they are separated from the herd, this is exactly what they'll do. They'll kneel and stay in that position until the shepherd comes and rescues them. So how does that relate to people? Because there are some people in your life or some people in this room that are sitting in a depressed state. They're like a ship sailing to and fro with no direction. Partying isn't working. Their relationship is not working. All of these different things is not working. And so they're literally sitting there. And this is where we make a mistake as a church. As a church, we condemn this person. We say, you know you're not supposed to be doing that. We say, you need to go to church. You need to do this. You need to do that. Instead of realizing, like the shepherd, these people need to go and be rescued with love and with grace, not with condemnation. Amen? So these parables show us three different kinds of people. This person that's going to just sit in their mess and not move, they're already feeling guilty of their sin. They understand that they made bad decisions already. So they're going to just sit there until somebody comes and shows them that God is loving. He's merciful. He's kind. He's a friend. Amen? And then we have this next slide, or this is my main point, is believers grow in their relationship with Jesus to go and rescue the lost with love. So then the next parable, which we're going to cover, is the parable of the lost coin. All right, can everybody say the word drachma? Drachma. So drachma is the gold coins that's in this woman's headband. So what a drachma is, or what a coin is, this coin was about a day's wages. Imagine how much money you make in a day at your job. Imagine a husband paying for 10 of those. So this lost coin parable is important because this headband was a wedding gift given by a husband to his bride. So if one coin was lost, it would bring shame onto the family and dishonor. Amen? How does this relate to people, though? Why is Jesus trying to personify a coin? The reason why is because a coin doesn't know that it's lost. A coin doesn't know that it has value. The value that the coin has is only representative of the owner. Amen? We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Don't even worry about it. So in Galatians chapter 6, Paul says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It says to love God with all your heart, mind, body, spirit, soul, and to love who? Your neighbor as you love yourself. So the way that we love our neighbor like we love ourselves, if somebody is going through something, somebody just lost their parent, somebody's going through something traumatic, our job as Christians is to walk with them through that without condemnation. Amen? So I want to tell you guys a story real quick about Carol's ring. So there was a woman in her 70s named Carol who accidentally threw away a ring while cleaning her kitchen. Now, this wasn't just any ring. This was her wedding ring. Over the years, they talked about upgrading. Her and her husband was married for 50 years. They could barely afford groceries when they first bought this wedding band. This ring became a symbol of everything that they had survived. Surviving cancer, raising 3 kids, staying married when all of their friends were getting divorced. So she accidentally knocked the ring off the counter into the trash can, right? Now, what she did is uncommon. She grabbed 7 trash bags, put them in the garage, ripped them all open until she finally found her wedding ring. Now, this wedding ring, it didn't have a lot of economic value. Her kids even said, you know what, Mom? We'll buy you a new one. Like, don't worry about it. But she insisted, this ring is mine. This ring is us, right? And so eventually she found it. The ring was important, not because it was expensive, but because it was hers. Amen? Now, that's the kind of love and searching that God does for every single one of you in this room. You're not trash. You're treasure. Amen? I dare you to just tap the person next to you and say, I belong to God. That wasn't good enough. Tap the other person on the other side. I belong to God. There we go. There we go. There we go. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. All right. And then that brings me to the third part of the message, which is found. So we see in Luke 15, 5 and 9, it says, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. Notice how the shepherd doesn't scold the sheep. He joyfully carries it. And that is a visual representation of us. Jesus is the good shepherd, he calls himself. And he carries me and you over his shoulders. Amen? And that's what we're supposed to do for other people. We're supposed to carry other people over our shoulders because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Amen? So I want to tell you guys a story. So in 2018, you guys heard about the Thai cave rescue? There was 12 boys and their coach. They was stuck in a cave for 2 weeks. This got global footage, right? But what do you think happened? Every single person was rescued. And do you think that they were quiet about it? No. They celebrated every single person that was rescued. Amen? So the main point here is this, is that God never shrugs when someone comes home. He rejoices. Amen? All right. Okay, Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Now that brings us to our point of rejoice. And so this is our last verses, I promise. Pastor Ian said I can go all day, right, if I need to? If I don't get some participation, I can go all day, right? All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. So here we go. So I tell you that there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So what does this tell us? This tells us that heaven throws a party over repentance, not over religious routine. The one matters more than the applause of the 99. What does the word repent mean? The Greek word metanoia means to literally stop walking in one direction and to make a 180-degree turn in the opposite direction. That's what repent means. Amen? So I'm going to close with this. I need your participation. If not, I'm going to be here all day. It's up to you. Okay. So how do we celebrate a birthday party? Let me hear it. How do we celebrate a birthday party? Sing it. Let me hear it. I don't need to hear something. Okay. All right. We sing happy birthday, right? What about a touchdown? How do we celebrate a touchdown? Yeah, right? That's how we celebrate a touchdown. Okay, all right. What about a raise at your job? How do we celebrate that? Right? We happy about that, right? So now, how do we celebrate one soul coming home to Jesus? Let me hear it. Yeah! Woo! Woo! There we go. So my challenge for you today is to not let heaven out-celebrate us. Amen? And so, worship team, you can come on up. Maybe you are the sheep in this story today. Maybe you have wandered and you fell astray. You have a relationship with Jesus, but life just got in the way. Amen? Or maybe you're the lost coin. You don't know your value, or you didn't even know that you were lost before this message. If either one of those people are you, myself, Pastor Ian, and Michaela, we would love to pray for you. Or maybe you know somebody that needs the love of God and you want to just pray for them. We invite you to come on up from the sides and we're going to pray for you. All right. Thank you, worship team. I'm going to stay up here until somebody come. Amen. Amen. But I just thank you for his heart, his life. I just pray, Lord, that you just ignite that fire back inside of him, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you continue to pour into him. You love him so much, God, that you know the very number of hairs on his head, Lord. We love you. Thank you so much for him, his life. Lord, you have called him to be the leader of his family, the spiritual leader. And I know that that's a big burden, God. But I ask, Lord, that you just continue to show him how much you love him, care about him. Love you. In his mighty name. Okay. Any special requests? I'll pray for you. But any special like. Oh. Lord, repeat this prayer after me. Lord, I love you, but I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I thank you for your life. I thank you for your sacrifice you've given me, God. I just pray for Kai. I thank you, Lord, for choosing him before the foundations of the earth. You knew that this moment would happen even before anybody else knew, God. I thank you for his spirit, his joyful spirit, his kindness. Every time he comes around me, I feel his magnetic spirit, God. I just pray over him, Lord, right now, Lord, that you would just start planting deep seeds of faith and encouragement and hope inside of him, God. Lord, that you will order his steps and that everything that stands in his way, Father God, that is not of you, you would just rebuke it, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that he would grow up and be the man that you want him to be. Not who Instagram says he should be, not who Facebook says he should be, not who TikTok says he should be, but for you, who you say he should be, Father God. I thank you for his life, that you chose him, Father God, to be a leader in his school, on his teams, Father God, and in his family, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just continue to walk with him. Send people around him, Lord Jesus, that's going to pour into him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you. Yes. I'm going to pray for this one. Yes. Jesus died so that you can live, church. He died so that you can live. It takes your first step, you acknowledging that you need help. Otherwise, your life is just going to go the same over and over and over again. We love you guys, and we appreciate you. And I have a last activity that, Austin, you want to help me? Can somebody help me? No. There's a pen in the back of your seat. And this will be the last thing, I promise. Yes. Oh, come on. We still got some time for prayer. If anybody wants to come up, this is the time. You want to give your life to Jesus? This is it. But I just thank you. My sister, Lord, her sister, Lord, is just like a sheep, Lord, just went astray, Father God. But we trust, we believe, Father God, that you will bring her back to where she belongs. She may not know, just like that coin, that she has value, but the value is found in you and you alone. And so I pray, Lord, that you send somebody to show her that her owner wants her back. Lord, we believe you, Lord. You said, asking, seeking, she'll find, knocking, the door shall be opened unto you, Lord. And here we are, seeking, begging, pleading, Lord, for you to just show up in a miraculous way, Father God. Lord, you said that when two or more are gathered together, that you will dwell in the midst, God. And here you are with us, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you show up in a miraculous way. Lord, that you show up not on our timing, but on your timing. Because sometimes, just like the prodigal son, we have to hit rock bottom to realize just how much we need you. And so, Lord, I just ask that you just show up in a miraculous way. I thank you for her heart, Lord. And we know that you're going to continue pursuing her, Lord Jesus. And we believe these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you, sis. Love you. Love you. Love you. Here for you. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Two. Family. Open and I close.
Love you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Lord, I thank you, Lord, for Rob's father, Lord, his life, Lord. I thank you for him just raising such an amazing son, Rob, God. The heart that Rob has, Father God. The wife that you have given him, the family that you've given him. We just thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for this family, Father God. And we just pray, Lord, that you show up in a miraculous way. Lord, you said in your word that it's by your stripes we are healed. And we know you can heal two ways, supernaturally or through medicine, Father God. And so we just pray a healing over his father, Lord, that you would just comfort him during this time. Comfort the family. Give them strength, Lord. You said that your spirit is the paraclete. It is the strength that we need. And so I just release the Holy Spirit, Lord, inside of Rob and his family, Lord, just to be strong during this time. But also realizing that sometimes being strong means crying. It means breaking down. It means getting on our knees and realizing we cannot do this by ourselves. We need people around us that's going to love us and care about us and encourage us. I thank you for this amazing family, Lord. And I pray for every single person, Lord, even Zoe and Zayden, Lord, as they're going through their life, that you show them just how much you love them and care about them, how you've called them to be leaders, Lord, in their schools, on their teams, Lord, in every relationship that they have, Father God. I pray, Lord, that today they realize that you have found them and you're going to constantly pursue them, Lord. In your mighty name we pray.
Love you so much. Here for you.
Come on up. Up your ball. Talk to me. You guys got any special requests? Okay. All right. Lord, I thank you for Owen and Jabal, Lord. I thank you for their lives, Lord. I thank you for your ball, commend his life to you, Lord. And I know that this journey will not be easy, Lord, but with you, all things are possible, Father God. Lord, I thank you for Owen and his heart, Lord. I know that he's kind, Lord. And I just ask, Lord, that you just continue to pour into these young men and show them that you have chosen them before the foundation of the earth, not to be like the world, but to be different, Lord, but to be chosen. And that looks different for everybody, God, but I just ask that you show them, Lord, what it means to walk holy and righteous in the seasons of their life that they're in. While all their friends are out smart, smoking and partying and drinking, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you break that desire, that they don't even have a desire to even fulfill those things, Lord. We rebuke those things right now, and we release strength over them, Father God, your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you send them Christian friends to walk alongside this journey with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Love y'all. Get some hugs. Love you.
Here for y'all, okay?
Yes. Miles Boogie, talk to me. Okay.
You want to open or close? Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Over. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's not by accident. Lord. Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the prayers that were said before me. I thank you for Miles, his life, Lord, his joyful spirit. Every time I see him, he got a smile on his face. That smile is so infectious, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that he realizes that you have called him to be his son even before he decided to walk up here. Even before he made the choice, you had already shown your love for him, Father God. And I just pray, Lord, that he sees that you make it evident in his life, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as he's going through this college season, I know that there's so many different temptations and things. Lord, I just rebuke that desire to be like everybody else. I pray, Lord, that his leadership comes out. Lord, that you show him how to even if it's starting a small Bible study, just bringing people together, Lord, that you give him the boldness and courage to live out what you already planted inside of him, God. And I just thank you for his life. And I pray, Lord, that when time gets tough and he feels alone or he feels like he doesn't have nobody, he reaches out to Coach Jay. He reaches out to Dad and people in his family, Lord, that love him, but that's going to bring him closer to you. Everybody in his life that's pulling him away from you, God, I rebuke, God. I ask that you cut those people away from his life because he is your son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you.
Yes, 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 yes. Come on up. Hey, sis, talk to me.
How can we pray for you today? I know. How can we pray for you? Okay. All right. I'm gonna open. Yes, Lord. This takes a lot of courage, God. Lord. God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Amen. Lord, I just pray over her, God, that you would start to reveal your truth, Lord. There's only one truth, Lord, and that truth is you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you show her in her life you and how much you love her. And also in her job, Lord, that you show her that you got her there to be a leader to show other people the good news. And that's you. That's that you died on the cross for us. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you just continue to pour into her, love her, Lord, show her, Lord, order her steps, God. Everything that's not of you, Lord, I pray that, Lord, we rebuke that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, love you, sis. Love you, here for you. Come on. We could do a group thing. You got any special requests? All right. Got it. Okay, go ahead, baby, open. Yes, Lord. Austin and Caleb. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Not by accident, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My amazing nephew. Yes, Lord. 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 Yes, Lord. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, love y'all. Matthew, thanks for coming up. Awesome.
Love you.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen, church. Amen. I just want to give a special shout out. Kai decided to give his life to Jesus today. One soul. That's what heaven cares about. One soul, amen. If it's only one, it's not about the 99. It's about the one, amen. And so this note card that I gave you, I think everybody has one. On this note card, what I would like everybody to do is on one side, I want you to write the name of one person that you are seeking. Right, that you know that God loves and cares about, and God has put you on their heart, I want you to write their name there. And you're going to commit to praying for that person, reaching out to that person. We're not asking you to do 5-10 people. One person. Write the name of one person that you're going to pursue this week in prayer or a text message or a phone call. Not to preach to them, but just to carry them gently and just check on them. Amen? So write that name on one side. And then on the other side, I want you to write your name. I'll give you a minute for that. There's pens in the back of in the front of the seats. Yeah. While you guys are writing, I'm going to share a little story with you. My nephew, Jabal, in the back right here, he got baptized last week. Amen. Now, the context behind that is I was giving Jabal a ride to practice last year, and Jabal told me that he was an atheist. And me and Blessing, amongst other people, we committed to praying for him. His mama prayed for him in Texas, and they had they wasn't aware of it at all. People lost their lives. Tomorrow is not promised. So today is the day. If you want to make a decision to give your life to Jesus, today is the day. Tomorrow is not promised. Amen. I appreciate you all. And on your way out, I want you to just drop that name inside this bag. But I want you to rip it in half and only put the name of the person you're praying for. Or put your name in there. I'm sorry. Put your name in there and keep the name of the person you're praying for. Oh, you put it on the backside? That's all right. Don't worry about it. Keep it. Keep it in. Just keep it in. Just keep it. All right. You could just keep it. You could just keep it. Just keep it. But eventually, I do want that card back because I want to put somewhere on the wall testimonies like Jabal's and Austin's and Julian's and Miles, how they actually came back. It may not have been right away, but God brought them back during the right time. Amen. And now God's going to use them, Julian, to be a pastor, Miles, Austin. He's going to use them to help reach people that you and I can't reach. Amen. So we had a couple recent graduates, Austin, Zaire, and Ezra. I would like them to come up. We got them a gift card. Y'all can stand right here. Come stand on this side. Y'all see Zaire already rocking his Chosen shirt? And then we also got them some custom Chosen shirts that says, this is yours. This is yours. And because you special, Ezra, we got you pink. I'm going to invite up my sister Debbie. She's going to come up and we're going to pray over these young people. Yep, we're going to pray over these young people. You can write them around. Okay. All right, go ahead, Deb. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Man, we love y'all. Love you, Ash. Love you, nephew. Proud of you. I'm going to pray us out, and then we can go home. Y'all ready to go home? God is good. All the time. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for today. Lord, I pray for everybody that's under the sound of my voice, whether online or in person. God, I just ask that you just show up in a miraculous way this week. Lord, those who didn't have the courage, Lord, those who did have the courage this week to come up and be prayed for, God, I just pray, Lord, that you just show up in their lives, God. Even those who didn't have the courage to come up, Lord, show them how much you love them and care about them. And Lord, those who wanted to rededicate their lives today, God, surround them around people that's going to help hold them accountable. Help show them and lead them and guide them. Help carry their burdens, Father God. Because it's not easy, Lord, coming up here. It's not easy sharing what's going on in our lives, God. But I pray, Lord, that you give them the courage. Because in you, there is no shame, God. There is no guilt. You paid for all of that on the cross, Lord. And so, Lord, I just release these people, Lord. Release your people into the world so that way they can go and carry the loss with love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.